This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is Technical Manager Referees, UAE FE. I'm still struggling to get this one right.
FE? FA.
It's FA. So Technical Manager Referees, UAE FA. Clearly very important now. Richard Mellon. Rich, it's obviously a pleasure and an honour to discuss this with you. You're 3 hours ahead. Today's date, just to give you a sense of day and time, it's the 10th of September. It's 12:33, which makes it 3:33 where you are right now. What's the temperature like where you are right now?
It's 38 degrees.
Oh, ouch. So you'll be that sat there chilling in your nicely air-conditioned apartment. So for those that are listening for the first time, welcome to the podcast. Now, very quickly, before we go into what we're going to discuss, there is one person you would like to mention, particularly because they've spent the whole week catching up on the whole back catalogue of Referee World podcasts from the last 10 years. Rich?
Well, yeah. I've had contact from a colleague and who's going to be a very good friend eventually because he's going to buy me coffee, he says.
Whee.
But welcome Nick Phipps to the Referees World podcast. Nick Phipps, I think as from messages that I've exchanged with Nick, he is coming to Dubai for work reasons. And he's a referee, I think, in the Luton area. Commutes every day to London, and to pass the time while he's commuting to and from London, he's been listening to the Referees World podcast, and he's caught up with last 10 years backlog.
Wow. He must feel like we're a part of his family.
Sure, I'm not sure wow is the one word I want to use, but Nick, you've got to find something more to do.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, okay, and, go on.
It's my coffee choice will be a large latte double hit.
Excellent. Okay. Well, when we meet, Nick, when I arrive in the UAE to have coffee with you, mine will be a grand, whatever it is, but black. Excellent. Right. Okay. So we are going to look at assessments. In my season so far, I've had two assessments. I've had one as a referee and one as an assistant referee. And we thought we would go through this assessment and see what we can learn from it. Give an idea of what you could expect if you are going for a promotion over the coming season. We won't mention the assessor's name. Quite happy to mention the teams. Quite happy to do that. So, Rich, the big question is, do we go, first of all, with the middle or the assistant referee? Now, to wait to choose this, I have got a coin in my hand. You can't see me because we're obviously doing this over Skype. I'll put my hands behind my back. Left hand, we do the middle. Right hand, we do the assistant referee. So, where are we going to go with this? What are you going to choose?
Left.
You're going to go left.
Left, left, left.
Left, left, left.
We always talk about that in football as refereeing movement and positioning.
Okay.
Left, left, left.
Excellent. The coin was in my left. So we're going to go with my assessment that I had on Bank Holiday Monday, which is about 10 days ago now. And this was from my game against, it was between Somerton Town and Welton Rovers in the Somerset County League, and it was a Division 1 game. Okay, so in that game we had one yellow card. Shall I start by reading the summary of the referee's performance?
Yeah, we will. Let's just say to everybody that's listening, this is not about assessor assassination. This is about learning from our assessments. And let me just say that every assessment, you will learn something in there. You will learn something that will help your game to develop, or you will have something clarified for you as regards something that you do well. So that's the purpose of the assessment. We'll call it assessment rather than the observation, because I'm living in the world where we use the word assessor, assessment all the time. So I won't go backwards and forwards, but I'm sure the listeners will understand.
Okay, here we go. So this is the first part of the assessment, and this is what the summary of referee's performance says. This was a fast-paced game and you kept up with it well, showing a high level of fitness. Strong sprints in the 11th, 27th, 41st, 67th and 89th minutes allowed you to keep close proximity to events. At times, I felt your high tolerance level towards frustrations aimed in your direction did not help your cause. Please make an example of the first player to do this, to clearly demonstrate your authority over proceedings. You seemed a little hesitant at times when both talking to players and blowing for foul play. 17th, 27th, 55th and 63rd minutes by way of example. We spoke about being more assertive and positive in such situations. Your sound and accurate decision-making, along with willingness to play advantage when appropriate in the 27th minute with public warning to home six being the perfect example, made for a good game to watch. So that's the first part. That's the summary of the performance. What are your thoughts there, mate?
Fast tempo. Your fitness levels are where he is expected. If I was writing that, I'd want to know that what you were doing well, because whilst you can say your movement and positioning supported decisions in the 11th, 20th, whatever minutes they were, what were the occasions that you had to support a decision? The decision on, in the penalty area, all those decisions are hugely important for the game. Foul or no foul, contact, foul contact. So there's a lot of stuff in there that I would ask. I think, Darren, with what we've got here, we probably got two podcasts. Would you agree?
I think you're probably right, actually, because the way we're going to go through this means that we're probably not going to get time to get the assistant referees assessment done in this one. So we'll make this two podcasts. We'll do this two different episodes, OK? Anything else on that particular section there, Rich?
Well, he said you talked about being hesitant.
Yes.
Can you remember anything related to being hesitant?
Yeah, I think more so in the last 15 to 20 minutes of the game in the second half, I felt that I started off quite strongly and quite positive. But then there were times when the temperature was just rising slightly and I had a little bit of hesitancy with which direction I was blowing for the free kicks. And there was a couple of situations where I was playing the advantage to a certain degree, but I didn't make it obvious what I was doing. So when I pulled it back, they were saying, well, why didn't you let me know that you're playing advantage? And again, that was, you know, part of the learning curve from the game for me.
Okay. So. Yeah, OK. Well, what I would say is I can understand what the assessor is saying, but let me say to you, I would, knowing how I've watched you over the years, I would say, like other referees, you are looking to see if there's an opportunity to apply advantage. Okay, so we won't go into an advantage situation as regards the traffic light approach, where to play it, when to play it, and why not to play it. But do you think that that could have been something that your body language created and told the assessor that you were appearing in his eyes hesitant? Whereas, in fact, you were probably looking for the opportunity to apply advantage and then you decided it was a free kick.
Yeah, I think my body language probably gave a lot of that away, because a good chunk of where this was taking place was on the opposite side in front of the dugouts. I particularly remember the area at the period of time that he was referring to. So my body language from where his viewpoint was probably suggested that, and he was absolutely right. You know, I did delay certain decisions, and I was aware of it, because when I came off the game, I sort of said to him, look, this is how I'm feeling, this is what my own notes are in my own head, and he kind of agreed with what I was saying. So I was aware of it, and he said to me at the time, that's good that you are aware of it already, the fact that you're acknowledging these before I've even had to tell you.
Well, I think on that point, from what the assessor is saying, and every assessor is always trying to think, well, what's the referee thinking at this moment in time? And when you come to a debrief with an assessor, he'll often ask, or he should be asking, talk me through the situation where you gave a yellow card. Talk me through a situation of why you didn't give a penalty. Talk me through a situation. He'll always ask for your version of events. The assessor should not be going out there and saying, well, you didn't give a penalty and I think that was wrong. Mm. You know, he needs to know what you're thinking first of all.
Yeah.
Then he can make his decision and judgment about your performance from the information that you're sharing with him. It's not about him trying to catch you out, because I don't believe assessors should be going out there with a gotcha mentality. But there are some guys that prefer to do it that way. But my view is support the referee first and foremost, We should be out there supporting you guys. I mean, I've been through this situation like everybody else in the UK and around the world. We've all had our refereeing careers. It's now my turn to give feedback to help the next generation and wherever they are in their career, whether or not they're just starting out as a level 7, whether they're 17 or 27, 37, or a mature referee at... What age are you, Darren, carefully?
49.
Hey, there we go, thank you. Okay, so it's all about the assessor supporting the match official, not going out there with the mentality to catch you out. Because let me say to you, there is enough in any game to be able to help the referee recognise how things could be better.
Yeah.
The body language, maybe, and this is what we're talking about with this, where he says you were a bit hesitant. Your body language, wherever you are, on or off the field, as a match official, needs to be positive as much possible. 99.9% out of 100, you should always try to be positive. There are times when your facial expression might give away something. You will look as though you could be that that rabbit in the headlights. There's those sort of moments, you know?
Yeah.
But it's all about the learning process through your assessment. If I were you, maybe have a word with the assessor and say, could you explain to me what those moments were when I looked hesitant?
Oh, no, because we did talk at length about them. We had a penalty decision, and he asked me to talk him through that. I explained what I saw, what happened at the time, and he said, yeah, absolutely the right decision. And apparently there were fans of the away team there, stood close to him, and they even said, yes, that was a definite penalty. So I got no qualms with that, and he was... Through the whole of the discussion afterwards, he was very supportive in what I was doing. There was no negativity. He gave me some really good, solid advice in the way that you would have done had you been there.
Yeah, I believe it's first and foremost there. We are there to support the referee. Mm. If we can see development ideas, then that's what we introduced in the middle of the debrief and put it into the report. Mm. We create the sandwich as assessors. We come in with the good news, good work, great, good this, that and the other. You were in the right place, right time to award no penalty, award a penalty, whatever it may be. And then you give the development and then you come back with clarification, confirmation of what was done well,
yeah.
You know? So he does talk about hesitancy, penalty decision. Talk me through your version of the penalty incident. Can you remember it?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much on top of play. It only happened about 10 yards in front of me. And to me, the player was just a bit late. It was a trip in the box, so I gave the penalty. There was no...
Whereabouts in the box? Left-hand side, right-hand side,
so
in the middle?
It was, as you're staring at the goal, it was to the left-hand side, just close to... Or just to the left-hand side, but just in front of the six-yard box. So probably about 7 or 8 yards off the goal line.
OK, OK. And you were just outside the box then, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I was. It was clearly visible to me. If it was a trip that had happened outside of the goal area and the 18-yard box, I would have given a free kick. So it was just careless, and so that's why I awarded the penalty.
Good description as well. Careless. Mm. Okay. It wasn't made in a reckless manner.
Nope.
So it was a careless trip. Recognised as a foul, given as a penalty, and that was the decision.
Yeah.
You know, it's the important thing that, did you have any players half blocking or blocking any of your vision, or did you have a clear view?
No, I had a clear view.
Excellent. Well done. That's the objective for all referees, to get a clear view, a good angle. And arguably, when you're making decisions in the penalty area, it would be good if you weren't moving too fast, too quickly. I know sometimes it's not always possible, but the more closer you are to being stationary, static, the better, because you can make accurate decisions on focus of the point of contact. Mm. And the point of contact is the big deciding area as regards contact or foul contact, you know, because it's not all about tripping in the box. It can be about pushing, holding, and offences with illegal use of the arms, etc., etc. So sometimes, you know, it would be good to be not moving at pace if you can avoid that. So get there as soon as possible, be in the right place at the right time, and you make the decision. And that sounds as though exactly what the assessor has said to you on this occasion.
Yeah. Yeah, OK, so let me go through some of the other points that he's pointed out. So should we look at the strengths first?
No, I want to talk about the caution.
Oh, all right, OK, OK.
That's more important. More important. Talk okay. about the caution. Why?
The caution. I can't remember the caution now.
Any caution in a game is a key match incident.
Yeah.
It's a key incident because your profile as a referee goes out through the roof. Once your body language starts reaching for your pocket, people know what to expect. You know, left or right pocket, back pocket, as some people keep the red cards. You know, your body language gives away a lot of messages.
Right, the caution. I can't remember what the caution was for.
I gave you enough time to think about it.
Dear me. The caution was, Rich, what was it? Was it a trip? Was it a deliberate trip?
What colour was he? What number did he wear?
It was an away caution.
Hang on a minute, I've got my... Let's have a look.
I keep all my reports and everything here, so let's have a look. Right, OK, so caution, unsporting behaviour. Yeah. It was unsporting, and it was...
A late-timed foul challenge?
Yeah, I think it was, actually. It just came in a bit late, I think,
yeah.
From memory. Yes. Yes. Brilliant. How prepared am I? Brilliant.
You're not convincing me, Darren. You're not convincing.
Yeah, sorry. So, yes. So, yeah. So that was the caution.
OK, let's move on then. Let's talk about some strengths in your game.
OK, so strengths. OK, so I'll read you the three strengths. It says, during open play, you worked well to create angles on play. This meant that the penalty decision was credible. Your overall...
Let's just focus there. How did you create the angles to give yourself credibility when making decisions?
Mate, I've got to say, because I was on a game the other night and the single... best bit of advice that I've had since I got back on the game was that thing you told me about take a step to the right or left first before you make your run. That has just helped me massively.
Describe then, Dad, because we talked about it and the reason to use it and how to use it. Describe for the listeners what I asked you to do.
So
and what you actually did.
When play goes on in front of you and you can't actually see the actual movement of the ball because you're behind it, if you take a step to the left, okay, that means the angle in which you're seeing the play go forward is going to be a lot more clearer. Step to the left or a step to the right, depending on which is your preference. And
Don't directly behind play, isn't it?
Yes, yes. So that has helped me loads. And I find myself now, if I find myself running in behind play, I stop and then I take a step and then I run. Because I'm so conscious of it now, because it's really worked for me.
Good, well done, mate.
Next strength, it says your overall decision
Next
point, your overall decision making for careless challenges and handball was consistent throughout the afternoon. So that was good. Happy with that.
Okay, and that's because you've got the right position to make the judgments.
Okay, and the final one, your high level of fitness saw capable sprints in the 11th, 18th, 32nd, 46th, 74th, and 86th minutes in order to keep suitable proximity on events.
Yeah, what's your target distance to be from the action area, Dara? Have you got a target distance?
Well, we talked about this several episodes ago. I like to try and be around the sort of 5 to 10 metres. But you told me that was way too close. You told me it was like 15 to 20.
I do think it's too close. I do think sometimes we can be so close to the action. We get in the way, we collide with players, we jump the ball, we duck under the ball, all because we're too close and we've not read the phase of play. So I would just say 10 yards, I would go as that is probably the closest I'd want you to be with action going on, you know? Like I say, what we need quite often as referees is not just to focus on the two players that are in the challenge, but the other players that are within certain proximity. So you've got a peripheral view of the possible next phase that's going on, you know?
And that was one area that in the game that I had midweek, I felt that my positioning was wrong because I was too on top of the play. And that happened quite a few times. Refereeing colleagues that we both know very well, Rob, that was something he just highlighted to me as a mate and said, look, just so you know, these were certain things that I picked up on because we like to share these tips and help each other out. So that was definitely one of them. And I was fully aware of it as soon as I came off the game.
Yeah. I think through sharing information with each other, sharing ideas, sharing experiences, that's how we learn. You know, if you're an individual referee that doesn't do anything as regards training, conversations, exchange of information from Saturday to Saturday or whenever you do your refereeing, if you're not talking to your colleagues, I don't know if you're developing as well, as best you possibly could.
OK, so let's move on to development areas then, because we're getting close to the end of this one. Number one, I would have liked earlier action against players voicing frustration towards you. There was one player that actually came up nose to nose and he gave me some ideas on how to deal with that, i.e. step back. If he comes again, step back again. And then if he comes forward again, put your arms out and say, whoa, hold there, because then that way it makes the player look like the aggressor. So that was a good learning curve for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, the referees that are challenged by height, let me say that, the smaller ones.
Like you.
like me. You have to use your body language and your gestures to control situations. You have to have a presence. How do you create a presence? If we talk about somebody like Rob McDonald, 6'5", you know, 6'5", 16 and a half stone, he has a physical presence.
Just to explain, Rob McDonald is a colleague of ours that Rich also coaches and is somebody that has been on the podcast before. So for those that are wondering who Rob McDonald is.
Well, Rob McDonald's 6'5". If you change the digits around, 5'6", that's how tall I am. So Rob McDonald's has got an advantage over me if we were both refereeing together. So I've got to find something that suits my style of refereeing. At 5'6", what suits my style? Strong gestures, strong body language, good voice, you know, so that you can control situations. Whereas somebody like Rob doesn't have to do as much work as me in some areas because he has physical presence because of his stature. So, you know, it's how you use it and the way in which you use it is how you progress with the players.
Okay, let's move on to the next development point. Please ensure you signal after stopping play for penal offences. That's just something else that I didn't do very well the other night. I admit that. In the 46th and 51st minute...
Describe that. What was that about?
So basically that was for some free kicks because of the pace of play at time. I was a little unsure. I knew there was a foul. I had to give a foul for something. But I was because there was two players on the ground. I wasn't entirely sure which direction it was. So I just waited for the obvious choice to naturally take place. And then that's when I put my hand out to signal once I saw that the player that knew it was a free kick to him, got up to do it. So that is an area that I'm also aware of and something that was pointed out to me on Wednesday night just gone.
Okay, from your description, I can detect that you're waiting for players to give you a clue as regards what they expect. Because if you were a little bit slow in making a decision as regards who made the foul, you're going to use players' body language to decide which way the free kick is going to be awarded.
Yeah.
Is that the same?
Yeah. Because I didn't have a clear enough view of it. I knew it was a foul and I knew I had to give something. So I was kind of blagging it a bit.
Yeah. I understand that. I understand that. The only thing I can advise you on there is, you know, don't delay too long, because if that's why he thinks you're looking hesitant, then maybe that's what it was. You know, the only thing I would say is, how quickly did you blow the whistle? How soon did you make a signal?
Yeah. Okay. So I was a bit late in blowing on a couple of them. And then when I did blow, it was two or three seconds after before I'd signalled.
Okay, let me say to you, the blag out of this, if that's what the description we're going to use, is stop, play quickly. Yeah. Don't let anything escalate from something that might be minor into a more major incident.
Yeah.
You know that you've got a free kick. You know you've got a free kick. Stop the game quickly, but then use the player's reactions, body language, etc., etc. Try and piece together the jigsaw before you decide red free kick or blue free kick. You know, at least stop the game rather than look hesitant and not stop the game. Stopping the game quickly can be a real blessing for you if you get the timing of it right. If you're not sure about which direction, that's when you find yourself time, walk towards the players. If they're 10, 15 yards away, that's when you're making your decision as regards watching their body language, as regards who's done what. You know, you've got a 51-49 situation and you're not quite certain about it, but make sure you stop the game.
Yeah, in fact, that development point is the third one, and it says here exactly what you've just pointed out. It says, when stopping play for fouls, consider blowing a bit earlier and more positively to add confidence in your decision-taking.
There we go. I reckon I might know the assessor, Dave.
Darren. Do you know him?
Do you know? Of course
him?
I do.
Oh, you do. Well, of course you do. Of course you do.
Of course I do. We've done work together before. He's a good lad.
Okay, so let's go to the additional comments bit before we wrap this one up. It says, please consider the development advice offered in this report, along with a few other minor things that were discussed. That said, this was a performance by a referee who is clearly comfortable in his own ability to officiate at this level and the above standard expected for this level as well. Good luck moving forward with your promotion, Darren. And thank you very much, Mr. Assessor. I'm not going to mention his name, but thank you very much. It was a nice visit, and it was great to have the discussion that I had with him. So here endeth this particular episode. We'll do another assessment in the next episode, and that will be my assistant referee's assessment.
This is Referees World.
Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk
or search iTunes for Referees World.